ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। In this session, I'll address some queries that I have received via email from a group of a few devotees from Russia and Ukraine. Their queries are in regard to creating Varnashram communities, which was a major part of Srila Prabhupada's mission, largely abandoned by most of those who claim to be his followers. So it makes it more difficult for those few who actually want to try and do this. It's not easy by any means. So there are six questions. And as a starter, I recommended the devotees to listen to a lecture I gave on this subject about establishing Varnashram as sailing into uncharted waters. Did you send? Yes. Did you hear that lecture about Varnashram again? Is that released on the internet? Sailing into uncharted waters. That's a saying in English, because at one point in European history they were ignorant of the geography of the world, and so sailors, if they went beyond a certain area in the sea, then they didn't know where they were going or what was there. Uncharted. So, full of possibilities, possible dangers, and really don't know what's going on. It's adventurous, possibly dangerous. So, I gave a lecture on that subject, because with Varnashram, we have Srila Prabhupada's guidance and the guidance of Shastra, but no specific model for us to follow. So we're just trying to do what we can with faith in Srila Prabhupada that it can be done. And that the most basic thing, that food can be grown from the land and people can live on whatever the land gives, that's the basic principle. That's easy to understand. And it's, in many situations, it's not difficult to do that. In some situations it is. In some places here in India, and in other countries also, the land is too poor to support very many people living on it. That's why we'll find some areas of the world are hardly populated by humans. Desert areas, mountainous areas, Arctic and Antarctic areas. They're hardly populated. But in many places the land is so fertile and the climatic situation is also very favorable, and the land is not uchu nichu, as it said in Bengali, so much undulating that it's difficult to farm. That it's very suitable for agriculture and very easily without much effort, many people can live on the food produced in that area. And I would think, let's see, here in Madhya Pradesh, farming is, it's important. In this area, close to the Narmada, there should be enough water. Some areas may be too dry to support more than one crop. Here in Madhya Pradesh, there's a lot of rocky soil also, I believe. So different areas are there. The whole east coast of India, from Bengal down to Kanyakumari, it's mostly all fertile land. There's enough rain. It's mostly flat land before you reach the Ghats inland. And there's a large population there, all the way down. So that's the basic principle, I'd say. Growing your own food, that's the first necessity. So the questions here. In our society, is there some community which could be taken as a model? There are a few communities in which the devotees are striving hard. Self-sufficiency, I don't think, has been achieved in any community, and it may take some time. Maybe in Brazil, that one community is there, the Purusha Triswami has set up. But that relies a lot on cash crops also. So in one sense, there's self-sufficiency. They grow a lot of bananas and dry them and sell them. So that helps to support. It is difficult in the modern age to set up self-sufficient communities because of the whole economic situation and the laws that the governments have and the requirements that the governments have. But as far as a community which can be taken as a model, the community New Vraja Mandal, which was set up by Shivaram Swami in Hungary, is much lauded. It's a long way from self-sufficiency. But as far as being a community where devotees live together cooperatively, simply, and chant Hare Krishna, in that sense, it's a good model. Although it does require some outside economic help, and it's still got quite some way to go to be the model of a pristine community in which it's just completely self-enclosed, self-supporting. But that's a good model of a community. Just to get anyone, including devotees, to all live together year after year cooperatively, that in itself is a good model, considering that this is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy, Kali Yuga. In Europe, where the devotees are writing from, that's a good model. And of course, there'll be many tests ahead. We'll have to see how that community continues to develop, especially after Shivaram Maharaj's inevitable passing on from this world. So I said that about Varnashram communities that I'm involved in. I won't, whether they're successful or not, I won't be able to say, because I won't be able to see. After one or two generations, if the children and grandchildren of our present devotees are still living on the land, then we can say there's some real successes there. So I won't be able to say. It's not a short-term project. It's a long, very long, success will be in the long term. So in that sense, we're talking about a good sense of sattva gun. If we're setting, the thing is that creation is an act of rajogun. So creating is much easier than maintaining. So you may think, okay, let's get it together and let's see and show what can be done. But this kind of attitude is good for setting things up, but not for keeping things going. So that is there in Europe, and there may be other communities elsewhere. Question. But perfect model you won't find. And even if you did, what that model is may not be exactly what you try to emulate in your own local situation, because every situation is different. You're dealing with different people, different local culture, different local laws, different land. So every situation is going to be different. It would be a Even if you see a situation or a model that you think is ideal, to on that basis try to exactly replicate it elsewhere would be a mistake. Communities develop around people, and like I say, there are different cultures, different local laws, which we have to be cognizant of. So the next question is, need there be a leader for the management of community, or only equal members of the board? Again, it will depend a lot on the local situation. Generally, nothing develops well in this world unless there's a leader. But on the other hand, simply by giving someone the position of a leader doesn't make them a leader. We find in the Gita that there are four classes of men, among which two are leaders. Brahmanas are the spiritual leaders of society, and Kshatriyas are the administrative leaders. But you just can't, just by giving someone the post doesn't make them eligible for discharging the responsibilities connected with that. As I've many times said, you can't make a donkey into a horse just by calling it a horse. So some people have some natural leadership qualities, which is not necessarily synonymous with being bossy and arrogant. That someone is egoistic and likes to boss others around doesn't mean that they're a good leader. There are many other. Well, that is not at all actually a qualification of being a leader. You know, that maybe is a quality for being a fascist leader, but being a kshatriya means that he is a cultured person. He knows when to fight and when to bow down, and when to, he has to bow down before the brahmana, he has to fight with the inimical kings, and he has to be like a father to the citizens. So it's not just someone, the idea of a leader is someone who just bosses others around and expects them to follow him. And there will be, and people are different also. So there are different kinds of leaders. Some will take a very authoritarian kind of role, and they may discharge it well. But even then, they would be wise to consult with others. So leader, should there be a leader? Well, I can say about the communities that I am somewhat involved in, we find that, just like there in Avanti Ashram, there's no specific designated leader. as far as I know. But at the same time, devotees do tend to look up to Nata Gauranga Prabhu, isn't it? And to some extent to yourself also. It's the community there, small community, which has been going on for about 2 years now. It is, there's no designated leader, but and no one's going around telling you do this, you do that to everyone, but so it is cooperative, and major decisions are made by consensus. But at the same time, practically people tend to look up to certain devotees who have taken the initiative. So it's going on like that. Whereas in Karamandurai, it's very clear at this point that Savyasachi Prabhu is the leader. Again, he doesn't have any official designation, nor does anyone else. But more than others, he has the vision, and the project was, to a large extent, his idea. And then others may be coming in who will also add leadership. So, yes, leadership is required, but cooperation is also required. A leader can only lead if others cooperate. One way of getting others to cooperate is by force, but that's not a good way to lead, especially if you're trying to make varnashram communities, or by strength of character. But the famous words of Srila Prabhupada, love and trust, is absolutely essential for this kind of community. There has to be so much trust. So the leader really has to lead by example, which is what Krishna speaks about in Bhagavad Gita, yad yad acharati shrishthas tadat eva tarojanaha sayat pramanam kurute lokas tad anuvartate. The leader has to lead by example and win the trust of others. So in this kind of community, we're asking people to come and to a large extent be selfless. So, cooperation to make a community means everyone has to a large extent be selfless. If people have many personal demands, it's very difficult to build a community on that basis. So everyone has to cooperate for the benefit of their whole, of the whole, considering that their own benefit rests with the benefit of the whole community. So the leaders, they have to lead with not with the demoniac idea of being a leader, which is the only role we know in the modern demoniac society. There are so many seminars on leadership and this and that, but it's all based on the idea of leading to promote your own career. So the idea of leadership in Krishna consciousness is quite different. So, yes, leaders are required, but leader in Krishna consciousness means they have a vision of how Srila Prabhupada's mission is to be served in specific circumstances, and strong will to implement that, and also a strong sense of Krishna consciousness, of being the servant of the servant. So a leader is required, but at least in the communities that I'm involved with, we're seeing that it's not the organizational structure that will develop in. It's not really, it's not that we've tried to put an organizational structure in place first of all, and then we try to organize everything around that, but rather we see what's to be done, and then everyone does whatever has to be done, and gradually as more people join the community, then we'll have to have a fixed structure. There might be some people, difficult for some people to work like that, because they think everyone has to have a specific designation of what they're doing. But in the beginning especially, it's very much a case of do the needful, whatever requires to be done. So in the beginning there's making infrastructure, starting the agriculture, and gradually it may be, if that's not there, then there's no meaning. It's just that we can create so many committees. It's a well-known syndrome within our movement that we create committees, and you say, this person will do this, this person will do this, this person, and no one does anything. So the commitment to get the job done is more important than giving a designation about what everyone's supposed to do. First thing we have to see that the commitment is there. So at least here we're seeing in India that with these communities, leadership is, or organization, it's definitely a very important factor. We can't have Varnashram, or we can't have any society without an organization. But as I spoke of in that lecture about sailing into uncharted waters, in many ways it's all experimental, and we'll see how things develop, and it may be different in different situations. In course of time, we should train boys from childhood according to their propensities. So we do get people who are trained as leaders, but brahmanas, spiritual leaders, kshatriyas, who are organizational, administrative leaders. In the meantime, we're just trying to do what we can. Which it's not necessarily as chaotic as it might sound. Day-to-day life, because life is simple. Produce farming is not such an incredibly complex thing that you need to have big meetings every day about what to do. Is basically quite simple. You put a seed in the ground and make sure it gets sufficient water. And of course with each crop there are different ways, at different times of sowing the seed, and some need transplanting in different soils, and some of the soil you have to raise in rows. But it's not such a complicated thing. In modern life, we're used to everything being complicated. So we have to be careful not to unnecessarily make things complicated. Even when there's all arrangement for simplicity, we're just so used to everything being complicated that we make all these committees and monitors and mentors and this and this and that and that, and we're all just all talking about the organization and the structure. In the meantime, no one does anything practical. So in the beginning it's work first and everything else later on. Let's get the basics in order first of all. That means, as is said in Hindi, roti kapra makan. And in English, food, clothing, and shelter. See that those things are organized for. That's the basics of material life, basic material necessities. So get that organized, and then everything will organize around, everything, all organization has to come around that. Should the housing be the private property of the members of the community, or should it belong to the organization? A commonly asked and crucial question, and it's difficult to give a clear answer because there are pros and cons of both. If it's private property, then proprietorship should turn sand to gold. People, if they have their own land, and then they're more inclined to work hard to produce. You're always going like this. There's, in Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, there's an incident of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In class, there was one of his disciples who was always nodding his head like this. He said, you're always nodding like this, as if to say you understand. Do you actually understand? So, yeah, proprietorship turns sand to gold, but at the same time, the community spirit is not fostered so well. And also there's the risk that after some time, if you have many devotees living together and they all have their private land, and then some of them at some point, they don't want to be so devotional, and they start playing rock music loudly at 12 o'clock at night, for instance. There's all kinds of things people can do, or drinking, taking intoxication. That has been various kinds of intoxication has been a major problem in several of our communities in different parts of the world. In one of the major farms in one country, the climate and the soil is very good, and it's excellent for growing marijuana. So guess what problem they have there? So that can be a problem. These are realistic concerns. On the other hand, we often find that householders are not very enthusiastic to commit to a communal or communistic kind of setup, because they're afraid of their security, because just like from the community standpoint, we can't be sure what will happen to individual members. From the individual's point of view, they can't be sure what will happen to the whole community and to the leaders. Srila Prabhupada, during his manifest presence, had properties purchased where the idea was the communal form. Everyone lives together and shares together in the service of Krishna. But he also spoke about a society in which Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, the Vaishya, has economic independence to a large extent, and that motivates him. That's a problem in the communistic model, that people aren't motivated to produce. If the Vaishya has a spirit to produce and increase and make lots of produce. And also, pious Vaishya won't only produce and then hoard, but his spirit is to work, produce profusely, and to give in charity also. Recently I was in Fujairah in the Gulf, United Arab Emirates, and there was one Maheshwari or something like that, Gupta. Goel is also the same, Maheshwari, yeah. So he was like that, I can't remember. So he was the youngish man, maybe 35, something like that. And we just have a small community of devotees there. And he was donating for this and that. So I told him that So your dharma is to, he's a local businessman, he's doing overseas carpentry. So I thought your dharma is to make lots of money and to give lots of donation for the aapka dharm, I say, dharm ke liye dan dana. It's your dharm to earn lots of money and to give much. And he was fully satisfied with that because that's his, he knew that. And my saying so just reinforced that, because that's the culture of Vaishyas. It's not just making money, but giving profusely in charity also. So the point I'm making here is that they need economic independence to do that. A Vaishya is stifled under the communistic system. They need the independence to, whether they're producing from the land or they're doing some other kind of business, like this man was doing a carpentry business, they need room to work in and to organize and to execute their dharma. So, which is best? This writing from Russia, where the communist rule was there for many years, and the Vaishya spirit was to a large extent crushed. And that is there all over the world with modern education, which basically inculcates people with a Shudra mentality that you have to get a job. Recently, I applied for a new Indian visa, and in the questionnaire, the form to be filled up applying for an Indian visa, the one of the boxes was name and address of employer. The fact that you, there is no provision that you might not be an employee, just presume that you're employed. Just see, Shudra mentality. They just expect everyone must be employed. But for those who are actually Vaishyas and Kshatriyas and Brahmanas by background, they hate to be employed. For them, it's the idea of being employed is something horrible. Now that's changing, and you find plenty of people from that kind of background. They're all employed, just like the Prime Minister of India, by his name, could understand he's from Kshatriya background, but he's employed. He's an employee of the government of India. It's also, it's being the Prime Minister doesn't mean you're a Kshatriya, especially the present one. So this mentality is very deep. So actually we need to discuss all these things. That's one very important point. You may think that I'm not giving very clear answers, but the answers to a large extent to all these questions, they have to be discovered. Because if it's just said, it should be like this, it should be like that, just by edict, it's not going to happen. People have to understand. So it does require a lot of discussion and education. So that education means to read, to regularly have discussion of Ramayana, Puranas, Mahabharata, and see how people interact, what are their roles, what is the ideal of a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, woman, they all have their roles to play. So these, it requires a lot of discussion, trying to understand that mentality. And these two communities that I'm involved in, which are so far so good, one reason that they are so far so good is that there has been a lot of discussion, isn't it? Even before starting them and preparing the devotees, for the inevitable difficulties that they face. Difficulties in the sense that it is a different way of life. We're used to the city life and the city comforts and living simply. In the beginning might seem to be horribly austere, although very soon devotees, they come to appreciate how nice it is to live simply and how conducive it is for Krishna consciousness. So a lot of preparation is required mentally for devotees to take up that way of life if they're not used to it. And also much preparation is required to see that what kind of land is there, to getting good land, understanding it, everything, how to do farming, how to build houses. A lot of discussion and research is needed in advance. So you could go either private property or belonging to the organization to make a trust, or a mixture of the two. You'll have to discuss it and see what you think is suitable for your own situation. At what stage of development of the community do we have to raise the issue of varna? Srila Prabhupada said, first varna, then ashram. So I've been saying that, well, first of all, just get it together and then you see. But actually, once you do get land and people start living, and then you do start to see who's who and what's what and who's suitable for what. So the question of varna naturally arises because there has to be a division of labor. So that should arise fairly soon in the establishment of a community. Someone's going to be the teacher of the children, and then someone else is going to be concentrating on farming, and someone else, you're going to need carpenters, and gradually all kinds of things, smiths, and maybe for the animals you're going to need doctors for the animals. And in a fully developed village community, well, there's a word in English which no one knows the meaning of anymore, farrier. That means someone who they remove the old horseshoes and they put new ones on. So there's a whole occupation. There may be one farrier for several villages. And at least I saw in Bangladesh in the 1980s that there'd be small villages and then there'd be bigger villages. In the bigger villages there's a bazaar, in the small village there's no bazaar. Small village means just a few huts, but then when there's bigger village, there's a small bazaar, and then in an even bigger village, there'll be smiths. There won't be smiths in every village. I mean, smiths means there's a blacksmith, means he works with iron. And then goldsmiths, they work with gold and silver often. So that will be in at least a small town to have a goldsmith. And then there'll be others who are working with copper and brass. So all these, someone has to do it and someone will have the inclination to do it. So then it will be clear who's who and what's what. Potters are needed, barbers are needed. In traditional society, people don't shave themselves. Barber comes around once every 2 weeks or months or a month on a fixed basis and shaves and cuts nails and all this kind of thing. What is more practical, to organize one large or several small communities? It would seem that in most cases to organize one larger community is better than one small community, but probably better to start off small in the beginning anyway, and gradually develop. Start off with a good team who are committed and who can work together, and then as you get experience, then more people can come, because to set up even two small communities is going to be, in most cases, a lot more effort than setting up one large community. It's almost twice the effort, because in each case you have to find land, unless somehow you have some land, someone already has some land. And then you have to go through all the procedures and growing pains, even if it's small. It's just like traveling Sankirtan, which was part of ISKCON life at one time, and there still are some traveling Sankirtan parties. So traveling Sankirtan means 4 or 5 men usually traveling in a van, but it's almost like having a small temple, because you have to, there are so many things to organize and keeping the devotees enthused. So having one larger community is would generally be a better use of our resources, and especially our manpower resources, than having several small communities. Because someone who can oversee and guide a few people can probably do so for more people also. Whereas to find someone to do that for, then you need that kind of well-qualified devotees and in each small community. And actually community means, gradually we're going to have to think of larger communities if we are to be self-sufficient, because we're going to need, apart from farmers and teachers and doctors, we're going to need all kinds of potters and people who are expert in animal diseases and all this kind of thing. Midwives, all kind of things we're going to need. So community ultimately means larger community. Are there proper conditions in Dobru Mush? That's to create a community which embody all the wishes of Srila Prabhupada, self-sufficiently, growing crops, the use of bulls, etc. Dobro Mush is an area in Tatarstan in Russia, where a few devotees have gone to live on the land, and it's still a very small community, few families. At least one family has been there for more than 10 years, which is quite an achievement in itself. And devotees do live simply. The soil is excellent soil. You can grow all kinds of vegetables and different things, but the growing season isn't very long because of the long and harsh winter. In India, the growing season is, in many places, short because of lack of water. But in Russia and many other countries, or some other countries, the growing season, even if the soil is very good, the growing season is often short because it's so cold and the land is covered with snow for a large time, for several months each year. But people have lived on the land there since time immemorial. So it is possible to live on the land, and that land appears to be very good. It is important to select good land, and it appears to be very good, but there are many factors involved. Again, all the devotees have to be united in purpose. The land has to be good. From what I can see, the land is very good, and a lot can be produced from it. Keeping cows and bulls in the West is a special challenge, especially in countries as cold as Russia, because you have to keep them indoors and heated Eating, I'm not sure. There, I know in Scotland, where it's also called, not nearly as cold as Russia, but there are breeds of cows, Angus and others, which they have a lot of natural hair, which keeps them warm. So they're suited for that cold climate. But they require to be kept inside, and then you have to produce enough grass in the growing season to... That's the challenge. Both for humans and animals, you have to produce enough food within the growing season to last throughout the winter also. So it is a challenge, but again, it can be done. Since time immemorial, there have been cows in Russia. So it's not an impossible thing to do by any means. So it can be done. It would require investigating to see the quality of the land, all different factors. But there are some devotees there who are definitely very committed to living on the land. In most of them, they have, the men at least, have jobs outside. So it's not ideal in that sense, that the main source of income is, or the main of livelihood, let's not use that word income, the main source of livelihood is not the land itself. So that shift has to be there, of actually living on the land. So if the devotees can be convinced that this is the direction we're going in, it's not that necessarily you have to just stop immediately everything. But that direction can be headed in also, because some extra income may be required. Maybe one or two devotees could work outside and in this way give the extra income. Or by sewing and knitting and producing honey and different things, some extra income may be generated. Here in India, because there is still a pious Vaishya class, then it is possible to get some help for establishing such communities. And in Russia, it's still quite prominent, a spirit of generosity among many people. But there are not many people, as there are here in India, who appreciate the value of... Even here in India, there are not many who appreciate the value of such communities, although there are people who appreciate the value of dharma, of supporting religious initiatives. So, can it be done at Dobre Mush? You'd have to go there and discuss what is the vision. Are devotees ready to move toward that, to take steps toward that? A lot depends on the devotees themselves and the land itself. And definitely a lot of work will be required to get things going. So, are you ready for that? I hope so. Otherwise, you have to work all your life and commit and condemn your children also to working. How is that working? This bifale shevenu kripana durajana chapala shuka labalagire. Serving some rascal, miserly person, just working uselessly in their service just so you can get a little miserable sense gratification. So if we can establish these communities for Krishna's pleasure, that will be a great advancement in the culture of the world. Devotees are writing from Russia, well, communism failed, and capitalism is actually a failure also. It's failed to bring happiness or even material well-being to people, although they're brainwashed into thinking they have material well-being. having to work so hard. And then as a result of modern life, they get so many diseases. Just like here in India, cancer and diabetes were unheard of. Now it's normal. It's all a product of modern life. Poisoned food is a major factor. Poisoned air. There's so much hullabaloo about how advanced Gujarat is, and what a great leader Narendra Modi is, because he's made such a great Gujarat. But Gujarat has some of the most polluted cities in the world. And people are living there and working, and they're all going to get all kinds of horrible diseases because they're 24 hours a day breathing highly polluted air in those developed areas, such as particularly Ankleshwar, Baroda, Vapi, Jamnagar also, the Reliance and Essa are there. So there are problems. And these big industrial complexes, they're taking all the water, so there's not enough water for the farmers. So it's a big, it's so wonderful, we're making life so wonderful, but it's actually a horrible life. So in Russia also, you'll find in so many towns, you go in and the power station is right in the middle of the city. These big chimneys. I remember myself, I lived in a town for 3 years as a child, in which a lot of the time the whole town just, according to the direction of the wind, it was just a stink of gas from the power station, escaping from the power station. You just can't avoid it. Recently also in Kuwait, it's just like the whole, I was there, and according to the wind direction, you'll get it. It's heavy. You can just you can smell the pollution in the air from the oil fields. It's very common there that people have respiratory problems because the air is just, the whole country is just so polluted. So even materially speaking, to set up these communities is much better. What to speak of spiritually, but I won't speak about that more now. Please try for it. Don't be discouraged that there are many difficulties, but once you get things in motion, things start to get very pleasant. Which those devotees who are living there more than 10 years at Dobremush, they're very happy to be there. They could go back there from the city, they could go back to the city, but they don't want to. They're very happy to live simply and chant Hare Krishna, which they do in a very simple way. And you yourself and others at Avanti Ashram have told me several times how happy you are to have made that shift from the stressful city life to the happy life, living simply with devotees, chanting Hare Krishna. So there are difficulties, no doubt, but the advantage spiritually, which is most important, and even materially, it becomes apparent quite soon if we actually do everything in Krishna consciousness, which means we do everything for the pleasure of Krishna. The communities can't be built on the basis of ego. That's not possible. That we're also learning by sad experience. So, Hare Krishna. As an addendum, I suggest to the devotees who have asked these questions and whoever else may be interested, if it's possible for you to visit our fledgling farm communities in India, because although a lot of what I've said may sound vague, the fact is that we do have devotees who have been living together now for quite some time in this simple situation, producing food, and they've made a good start. So you could go there, see what's going on, discuss with the devotees. That would be very helpful for you to not just for discussing, but to get the whole feel of how such communities can go on. Shall we finish or take any questions or what? The questions mean there may be unending questions because it's such a big topic. So let's go on with Arati. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.